God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by coming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or dispute, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of crooked and twisted generations, among whom you may shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run into vain or labor in to one to vain or labor in vain, even though I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me.
Yay. Thank you, Ava. Snaps. Okay. So tonight, guys, we're continuing our series in Philippians. We're going to cover some stuff we've talked about already, but we're also going to cover some stuff that we were meant to talk about yet last week, but we didn't get to. So everything's getting combined, and we're going to see how God has been at work and is at work and can be at work in your life, okay? So the main point I want you to take away from this, it's on your sheet of paper. You don't have to write this down, but we sang about it. Get this, all right? This is radical. Like, this is radical. People don't get this. When they think of God, they think God's a killjoy, and they think God is a buzzkill. But look at this. God finds pleasure in working for your good and his glory. God finds pleasure in working for your good and his glory. If I just removed that part about God finding pleasure in working for your good and his glory, and it just said, God works for our good and his glory, that would be awesome. And it would be true. But what makes it even more amazing for us and so much better for us is that he's actually happy to work good in your life. Now, here's the thing you might not understand. Sometimes your good doesn't always mean it's what you think is good. We could talk about that another time, but you just need to know that, all right? I'm sorry. You could get mad at me if you want, but I'm just telling you the truth. Would you guys rather I tell you the truth or lie to you? Truth. Okay. Yeah, I figured you were going to say something like that, Jamie. So here we go. Let's work through our text, all right? We're going to quickly go through this. Let's look at the first type of work. God's working. God's at work. We're going to go backwards in time. We're looking backwards. This is a statement in the past tense. And it is, God has done a great work for you. So if you're filling in the blank, you put in for. For you. Meaning, if you do, like if I call someone and I say, hey, will you do this work at my house? You don't benefit. I benefit. Like, that's him doing work for me. But if I were to go, hey, JJ, I want to come over to your house. I know you have to mow the lawn, but I'm going to mow the lawn for you. I'd be doing the work for him. Or let's say I was going to do your homework. Oh, that would be bad. No, that's, who said please? No. Anyway, here's the point. The work I'm about to tell you about is a work that you were expected to do, but you couldn't do. He had to do it. We've read this before. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, highest place of glory and honor, he did not count that equality with God a thing to be grasped or clung to keep him from coming here, but he emptied himself. He like poured it out. It's like, no, I don't, that's not going to keep me from you. And it says he took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. God became a baby. Okay? God became a human. Yes. To work for you. being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. You could see him play hide and go seek. Jesus is a little baby. He probably played hide and seek. Someone would find him. Literally, he was found. People found God in the flesh when they met Jesus. And then this is the great work. That's part of the great work, but this is the great work. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Here's the work that you were expected to do. God's law is so hard to keep. You're expected to keep it. Moral standards. You're supposed to keep it, but you couldn't keep it. You can't keep it. I can't keep it. So because I can't keep it, if I'm a rule breaker and a law breaker, I get detention, or I get sent home, or I get arrested for breaking the law. I broke the law. I needed to keep the law, but I broke the law. You broke the law. God's moral law. Jesus didn't. I'm supposed to suffer. I'm supposed to go to jail. I'm supposed to take the penalty for not keeping the law, but Jesus took the penalty for me. That's the work God did for you. Okay? Should have been you. Should have been you. Should have been me. But God did the work for you. Okay? That's why we can say, my sin is gone. It's paid for. I'm forgiven. That's the work. We talk about this every week. What? I'm not in jail. Well, that was, if Jesus didn't keep the law for me, but Jesus kept the law, so I'm not in jail. But you broke the law. I did break the law. He traded places with me. You get it? Jesus went to jail. Caleb should have went to jail, but Jesus went to jail. Okay? All right. So let's bring it in. All right? This is the great work God has done for us. The cross. What Jesus did, suffering in our place. We didn't deserve it, but he did it for us. He worked for us. Okay? That is the great work. It's a redemptive work. Now you, because Jesus did it for you, you're given Jesus' record, his perfect record. Okay? That's the great work he's done for you. Okay, now let's talk about the next thing. God wants to do a great work in you. All right. Did you notice that I said, I could have said God is doing a great work in you. For some of you, that might be true. But I specifically said God wants to do a great work because God desires this, but it's dependent. You can't have this great work done in you if you treat the great work he did for you as if it means nothing. Like you can't have the great work done in you if you think the great work done for you is not worth it. Essentially, what I'm saying, God wants to do this, but it's dependent upon you receiving it from him. You have to receive the work that he's done for you. You have to look at Jesus, and it has to happen in your mind and your heart that you're like, I want that. I believe that. It has to happen in your heart before it can happen where it continues to do more things. But let me read the scripture, okay? We're skipping a verse because we're going to go back to the other verse in just a moment. We got to work backwards here. It is God who works in you. Notice Paul's saying, it is God who works in you. Literally, he is making you different in your inner person. Y'all listening back there? He's working in the inner person of who you are. You know, everybody, we come here, you see me wearing clothes, and you see the persona I put on, but you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm feeling.
You don't know that.
I do know that. So, God knows it. He knows it. You might put on a front, but I don't know what's going on in your heart. God wants to get a hold of your heart. He wants to do a great work in you. What we call this, big word, sanctification. Okay, sanctification. not Santa.
Oh, so what happens to the saints?
All right, I'm running out of time. E.G.'s going to get mad at me.
I'm not. Keep going. Just keep going.
All right, sanctification is God patiently making you more holy like Jesus. I say patiently because you keep messing up like I keep messing up. He's doing a work in me, but it all... Huh? Yeah, I have too. So I feel like this, like Landon. I feel like I'm taking steps forward all the time.
Preach.
Listen, I feel like I'm taking steps forward all the time, and then occasionally I'm like taking a step backwards. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Oh my gosh, I can't believe.
Go backwards.
Well, we need to change that, Jamie. Hey, no more joking. Let's bring it in. Let's be serious, guys. Listen, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm telling you this because I love you. I say patiently. God is being patient with you because you kind of keep messing up. The life of a Christian is not a life of perfection. But the life of a Christian is a life of going forward. You're still moving forward towards Jesus. You're never going to have it figured out completely in this life. You got to wait till the next life. But God is patiently making you more holy like Jesus. My hope for you and my hope for me is if God is doing a great work in you, that this time next year, you're not going to be the same person you are today. You're actually going to be more like Jesus. That's my hope. That's why I do what I do. I do this because I love you. I want you to know Jesus, and I want you to have Jesus formed in you. And that's what sanctification is. God patiently making you more like Jesus. This is the great work God wants to do in you. But remember, it's dependent upon if you receive the great work he's done for you. All right, that's that one. Now let's go to the next one. Now, before I say this, this one, this other great work God wants to do, is dependent on these first two I told you. The second one was dependent on the first. Now the third is dependent on the second and the first. Okay, weird. Gotcha. What is it? Okay, I'll tell you. God wants to do a great work with you. My friends, guys, I love you so much. You don't even know. By God's grace and Jesus in me, I care about you and I love you. I want you to get this, but I want you to know this. You need to know this. God isn't just wanting you to become a Christian so that you can go do things for him or that you can go do things in his name. People use this all the time and they talk like big game. I'm going to go be a difference maker. I'm going to go out and I'm going to change the world for Jesus. I'm going to do it for Jesus. Guess what? God doesn't give a rip about what you can do for him. God cares about what he can do through you. That's what he cares about. My little trophies and trinkets of saying, look at what a difference I made. I just want to be someone who makes an impact. That little trinket in the eyes of God is rubbish. But what matters is when Christ is increasing and he's doing it. He wants humility in your heart because he's going with you. Like you don't become a Christian and then all of a sudden Jesus is for your conversion. Jesus is all about my conversion. I became a Christian. That's my relationship with you. No, Jesus goes with you because he's going to do the work. And you're just going to be like, do it, Jesus. Even though it can be hard. And you're going to sweat like, oh, look at me, I'm sweating. I'm exerting energy. Paul says it this way. I'm exerting all this energy, but he so powerfully works within me. I work harder than them all, but it wasn't me, it was the grace of God in me. So it's this thing where God is coming with you and he's saying, let's do it. Guys, you want to make an impact in this world? Guess what? Your name is going to be forgotten. The only name that matters and that's going to survive the ages is Jesus. That's why it has to be God doing the work with you. And I haven't even read the scripture and I've already preached it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. That salvation he's talking about is that sanctification. Work out that thing that's happening inside of you. You work it out. Bring it out. Bring it out. Don't do this. Take a knife and cut it and bam, and there's Jesus. That's gross and don't ever do that. It's Don't tell your parents I told you to do that. But what I'm telling you is we talked about this last week. You are applying what God has done in you so that people see it. Look at what it looks like. This is what it looks like when God's doing a work with you. He's with you, and he'll make it to where you're doing all things without grumbling or disputing. You know, I'm a grumbler. Ugh. Get frustrated when I have to do things or people do it the wrong way. He says, don't do this so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked, twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. He's saying, guys, as your salvation is being worked out, it's being applied to your life and people are seeing it, there's a light. Turn out that light, Cassidy, please. Can you turn out that one?
Where'd JJ go?
All right. Look, it's dark. It's dark, but look, we got a little bit of light. All right, turn the light back on, please. That's the light coming on. Guys, the light that you shine is not your own. It's the light of Christ in you. All right? When we do this, holding fast to the word of life, we look at the scriptures and we apply the scriptures and we love the scriptures and we pray through the scriptures, hold fast to it, so that it's worked out in us. And then he says, look, I don't want to be ashamed, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Like what I'm doing here, I know here's the reality of what I'm doing here. I was driving the other day and I was thinking about this and I was honestly, Christ was crying for you through me. I was crying because I was thinking about the fact so many kids are going to come through here and you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You're not going to walk away with Jesus. You're just going to go away thinking that this is religion and that I just got to do all these things. And you're not going to take Jesus seriously. And my heart breaks for you. And I don't want that. I don't want to labor in vain. Not because I don't want to be like, oh, that was a waste. I don't think you're a waste. I think you're worth every minute of it, every second of it. But what I don't want it to be is I don't want you to have a life in vain. I don't want your life wasted. I want you to know God and know Christ. So these leaders. He says, even as I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So do you guys remember a few weeks ago we talked about rejoicing and joy? What was our definition? Joy. Jesus, others, yourself. This is essentially what we're talking about. Like having Christ in the proper place, understanding the great work that Christ has done, understanding the great work that Christ wants to do in me, because it's Christ in me transforming me to be more like Jesus so that then I can do a great work with him so that others are affected. Jesus first, others, and then myself. Like, you want to find true joy and happiness and meaning? You got to find it in this order. All right, so now what? Here's some application, then we're going to split into groups real quick. If you haven't already, I encourage you, you need to receive God's great work for you. We're going to have a reflection time for just a brief moment. And you can do that. You can receive it. I think if you want to work it out in your life, if you want to work out Christ being formed in you, you're going to need to carve out time with Jesus before you go to bed. That means maybe start a Bible reading plan at night. Before you go to bed, you should also think about how you behave and relate to others. How did my life affect other people? Was it for their good and God's glory? Or was it for my own pleasure and... Think critically when you go to bed, guys, and then confess it to God. And then I would tell y'all with phones, consider what you're viewing on your phone. Guys, you guys have a terrible gateway to terrible things. Consider what you're viewing on your phone. And I would encourage you, if it's not forming Christ in you, if it's not helping that process of Jesus becoming greater in your heart, figure out ways to get rid of that stuff. I'm telling you. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. And lastly, I would encourage you, start talking to your parents or start talking to your friends. Start talking to your guardian about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. He's the one we're trying to make famous. He's the one that does the work, has done the work for us. He's the one doing the work in us, and he's the one who wants to do the work through us, okay? So let's keep the lights on for just a second. And I want you to close your eyes for just a second. Everybody close your eyes. And I want you to think about Jesus. And I want you to think about how you need to respond to Jesus. Whether it's how you respond to what he did for you, the great work God did for you, whether it's you wanting more of that great work done in you, and you want to let him. Think about that, or think about a great work you believe God might want to do with you, whether it's with your friends or your family or at school.